Yeah. He didn't. He left. And actually, he was made welcome in a house in Capernaum. Okay. Now, you know and I know that location is everything in a property. So this house was in Capernaum where he was welcome. And in this house was a variety of people. You're going to help me represent that. Okay, this is my house. That's the door. There's probably one window. Can we have a picture of a house up, please? Any one of the three? Oh, actually, could I have one of the others first, please? Sorry. Right. This, not very good picture, apologies about that. Shows you what houses at the time of Jesus would have been like. No, hands up if you can tell me anything that is distinctive about these houses. Teddy, what's distinctive about the house on the picture?
I don't really know.
What does Joe think?
It's got a flat roof.
It's got a flat roof. Good. Excellent. You can't just assume that things are like they are in this country when they're in a foreign place, can you? Okay. Mars might be, but not much else. These houses had flat roofs. What else can you see about these houses? Something else that's distinctive. Katie's saying very quietly, the stairs on the outside. Okay, it's not a fire escape particularly, but the stairs are on the outside because there's not much room inside. Why is there not much room inside? Hello? Anybody there? Too many people, but there's only one room. They do everything in there, so it's definitely smelly in there. If it's smelly at the fish market, it's definitely smelly in that one room. Okay? Anything else? Oh, let's have another picture. Right, I love this picture because it shows, that is a current picture of that sort of thing, okay? I love this picture because it shows the stairs on the outside and the washing on the outside. It's got a door, so it's a bit 20th century, I suppose, in that sense, or 21st century. And it's got a little window, so it'd be minging in there, basically. We get more than two men and a few animals in there. Or women. People, when you get people in there, okay? What else do you kind of notice about that roof? Come on, David Hoggett, you're a health and safety type of man, you're a builder. What do you notice about that roof? There's no glass in the windows, but it's the roof. Maybe you can't see it quite so clearly. There is a little bit of a railing. There's a little bit of a dip that kind of shows that the actual roof area, it is very early health and safety. Catherine, where are you? Deuteronomy 22, verse 8, make sure you have a parapet around your roof. Okay? Why was that? That's in the Lord. God is saying, put a parapet around your flat roof. And actually, bizarrely, why were they putting a parapet around a flat roof when they lived in tents? It's Deuteronomy, it's right when they were living in tents, but God is anticipating when they would settle and build homes and houses. And he's saying, don't go on your roof and fall off at night, you know, or you've got visitors, don't let them fall off, you're going to put a parapet up. Health and safety, God cares about the practical things. So they had to put this little parapet all round. These roofs are amazing. What do they use the roofs for? Because that's like, let's face it, if it was minging downstairs, where would you go on a hot day? You go on the roof. So what did you do on the roof, Jackie? Sleep in the heat, definitely. We've all thought of that. In our house, it's go down into the basement and sleep. Been very tempting, but we haven't done it yet. Rather than be upstairs. Alison, what else do they do? They'd have their fish. They'd maybe dry it up there. They'd maybe dry things. What did Rahab do? She hid the spies under the flax, didn't she, on her roof. In the Old Testament. Okay, so we've got that going on. What else happens on the roof? Was there a conversation? Play golf. Well, you might. Come on, somebody, sensible suggestions. Golf hadn't been invented. It was called shinty in those days. Have a bath, maybe. Yes, possibility. What else did people do? They slept up there. People prayed. God spoke to, was it Peter on the roof about all that stuff in Acts, whenever the verses, I can't remember now. And okay. So it's a place of devotion, a place of privacy. Okay. In actual fact, this is quite amusing, what the roof was made out of was branches, and then they'd put mud on top. And of course, what happened when it rained, if it was mud, the top surface was mud, it became muddy and horrible, basically, and churned up. So they had a little roller on it so they could flatten it out again. Anyway, I digress. I did too much research on roofs, I think. Okay, so there's this house, and it belongs to Peter. And it becomes Jesus' base. And there's all sorts of people in it. And we're going to people it with some of those, all those sorts of people. So I need a few volunteers. I need a couple of folk to be the disciples. Just some of them. They're not all the disciples have been called yet. Matthew isn't amongst them. That comes later in Mark's Gospel. But Peter, Andrew, James, and John have already been there. So could I have four willing folk to be four disciples? Holly, that's good. Come on. Jenny and Joan and Sheila. We've got female disciples, but we're not worried. Teddy can be there as well. He's holding hands. We need a mother-in-law. Why do we know there's a mother-in-law in this house? Hands up, please. Why do we know there's a mother-in-law? She was... You can sit in. Yes, you can sit in. If you get... Yep. Yeah, and you go, Marion. There's all sorts of people. We've got... So we need a mother-in-law. We need a recent mother-in-law who's still practicing Judith. So could you come and be Peter's mother-in-law who was healed? Okay. You're lucky if you start off because you're going to get a seat, you see. Okay. We also have, we'll have two or three people, and we'll call them the religious right. Okay. They're religious and they like being right. Who were the religious right in the time of Jesus? It's not a political term, you understand, although they might have been. The Pharisees and the scribes were there looking grumpy. Jackie, come and be grumpy. You've got to look disapproving. Kate, you can come and... Yeah, come and be disapproving. That's it. Okay. You're disapproving. And we want some people maybe who've been healed. Because the last time Jesus was in this house, he was healing people. Okay, so you need to look not amused. Peter's mother-in-law is beginning to get a bit panicky. Because you remember when she got healed? First thing, what did she do when she got healed? She got up and waited on tables, and I'm just thinking, what? What's that about? I've even heard it written that, I've seen it written down that actually they healed her so she could do the housework. I didn't read any more of that commentary. Okay. We need some more people. We need somebody who's been, two or three people who are willing to say they've been healed. Come on, you need to join in the melee here. Yeah. Anybody who, Mary, come on, absolutely. We need some children in this house. There's got to be families. Have we got any families or children? We probably need the guide dog. We're going to have animals. No? Come on, we need, that's exactly it. Yeah, like Mary. Mary doesn't need a chair. She's been healed. But anyway, never mind. You can have a chair. Come on, we need some more people. Joe, you've been healed before now. Come on. Come on down. We need some more men. Come on, Neil. You can come and be a bystander. Chris. Come on, come and be a bystander. Gordon, you're a method actor. You can come and play a bit part. Mrs. Armstrong, you can come and be. You need to get in the house. Well, at the front of the house. Can you have it at the front of the house? Oh, yeah, okay. Trevor, I'm sure you'd be there finding out what was going. Let's see who have we got up there. Yes. Zachary Vickers, you can't hide. Just hold on a minute, I've got a special job for you. Actually, Zachary, Caitlin, Lewis, if you could come down. And somebody else from up there, volunteer. A third person. I need a third person. Mrs. Wraith, you'll do. Well, I need four people. Well, yeah, I've got four. Right, actually we need a Jesus. Where's Joel? In the absence of Joel, could you just stand in there? That'd be great. Okay, just to represent Jesus, okay. Well, I've got a son who could pass very easily as Jesus, but he's not here today, so. Right, just turn around. Yeah, he's in Israel. Strange to relate. Okay, right, you guys, you need to come over here. Right, now there is a missing person in the story. Okay, some of you are ahead of me. We haven't got a paralyzed person. Okay, I did toy with all this, but I thought maybe not. Maybe that's not so easy to represent. But we have got. Are you writing those? Is it getting smelly and warm and everything? And yeah. Right, now then, these four people are regarded as friends. Okay. So teamworking comes into this. I'm not, hang on. Yeah. Okay, this is going to be interesting. Right, you need to get hold. No, you need to go over here somewhere. You need to go over there and hold a corner each. Okay, because this is the mythical bed that the person is on. Okay, now you're going to be holding it. Yeah, right, okay. The cot blanket won't take a person, okay. To represent a body that is, you need to be careful with and keep flat, that's a hint, folks, keep flat, is this ball. I did toy with an egg, but we didn't have any in. Right, so a bit tall, actually a bit taller maybe. Right, okay, you're going to have to, you're bringing this guy along. You've heard all about Jesus in Peter's house the previous week. He's been healing people. He's now here back in the house preaching the word. It tells you that he's doing the word bit, okay? So they think, let's get this guy in. There's a bit of a problem. They can't get him in, okay? So you need to try, and there's so many folk around here that you need to try and get them in. Right, but that way. Or you can go down that way if you want, or... No, you're not. You're not. You need to try and squeeze that way. Okay, you can't get in. Oh, right, okay. You're going to have a try. I did toy with that as well. I took health and safety advice on that one. Are you all right in there? Jesus is preaching away here merrily. Do you need... Right, okay. Right. So... Can we have the bystanders outside sort of trying to stick your heads in, trying to look in to hear Jesus and not letting this lot in? So, Trevor, you need to stand in the doorway. Stand in the doorway, that's it. Lock the doorway, that's it, excellent. So they're trying. So, okay, folks. No, you can't do it. So you have to come around this way and up the steps. Because, of course, the side of the house has got steps. Don't lose that ball because that guy's injured and he's needing healed. Right, now remember to keep it nice. So you've got to mime carrying this thing up steps. Come on, think about it. Right. And then magically, four people in the house are going to reach up and pull the ball down, okay? So we need four people. Four people to... Excellent. No, Zachary, what I want you to do is go and lie down in the floor. Okay. Please. Okay. Let Zachary down. You're the man. Let Zachary down.
Go on, we're letting him down.
Yeah, right. Zachary's on the floor. Just so if everybody can't see, Zachary's now the injured man. Okay. The paralytic. He survived all that. Just to remind you, Jesus says to him, Son, your sins are forgiven. Okay. And then he says to him, get up, take up your bed and walk. Now, I want you to sort of like leap up and run that way. And run that way. Okay, folks, you can take your seats and leave. Thank you. If you could just move your seats over there, that might be handy. Thank you. Okay, in a minute, we're going to be actually reading the scripture. Katie's going to read the scripture for us, and after that I'm going to give out some activities for the children. I've also got Lego, the idea being that if anybody wants to go and make a flat-roofed house, they can do that to show us afterwards, just while I just address the rest of the church, okay? Just for point I want to bring out, because the point in the Summer Sundays is that we have one point, okay? So, Katie, if you could come and read the scripture. It's in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12.
Pauline's saying that for my benefit, so I don't forget. So, Mark 2, verses 1 to 12. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this."
Thank you. If any of the children want to come and is paper and pens and so on over here. If anybody needs that. And there is also over here, if anybody would like this. No, under your feet, David, thank you. There is a box of Lego if anybody wants to make a flat roofed house. That might be interesting. Okay. So we've got the story. And we've been thinking about what happened when these people worked together. These four guys worked as a team. It was interesting when we look at the story, it made me think about another team this week because, I'll come on to it in a minute, but most people would look at this story and talk about what Jesus said to the man and the two things that he said, okay? And they're absolutely central to the story about forgiving sins and actually showing that Jesus could do it by healing him. And they go hand in hand. And that is a really key part of the story. It was as if he was endorsing and showing that what he said about sins was true because he could heal the man. Okay. And it reminded me of actions speaking louder than words. This week at the Holiday Club, what was the theme, Sam? You were there? Team builders, that's right. And it struck me last Sunday morning when we were at the bandstand that actually they were demonstrating what they were talking about. Because all week you were very aware that there was a team working extremely hard to put on Holiday Club, doing all sorts of different functions and things. And they were doing it in such a way that the whole made an amazing witness to God. And That is just the same as what's happening here. Jesus is showing and demonstrating an amazing witness to God's power by healing the man, not just saying your sins are forgiven. They go hand in hand, because let's face it, you can say whatever you want to somebody, but actions speak louder than words. I'm not really going to refer to that. I want just put that at one side. What I want to suggest is that all of us here are somebody in that room, okay? And the challenge is, which sort of person in that room are you? Are you the needy man who needs to be healed and restored, okay? I believe, and I think many of us do, that physical healing is great, but spiritual healing is essential, okay? The restoration of your relationship with God is the most important thing. You may or may not be healed if you need to pray for healing or ask for prayer for healing, but central and above all that is your emotional and spiritual healing and your wholeness through Christ, okay? It's not just a case of one and not the other. Ideally, both. Some people come along and are healed and they just walk away. They don't acknowledge Christ as God and as their Saviour and Lord. But in this story, obviously, both things happen. You may be one of those people who may need healing, but you may also need restoration of your relationship with God. You might be one of the four friends. Great. You had the faith to bring somebody working with other people. And God loves that when we work together in a team to bring others to him. You might be a bystander. That's the majority, isn't it? We're observing. Some of us are intrigued by what Jesus says and the claims he makes. Others are bemused. And I'm sure others were scandalized. And some of them were just religious. They just wanted to be right. It was nothing to do with godliness or goodness. It was just to do with being, well, probably in control ultimately. Some of them wanted to meet Jesus for the first time. They'd heard what had gone on at Peter's house the other week. Loads of people had been healed. They wanted to come and hear for themselves. So that's why the house was crammed. Some of them were just merely curious. What's going on over there? You know, a small town, something going on, they'll gather. You know, if you start standing outside the butcher's shop and a few of you gather, before long you've got a crowd wondering what you're all looking at. And it's possibly a bit of that going on. They're hearing that people are gathering to hear this teacher. What's he like? Are you like the person at the end of the story who's amazed? Or are you like somebody who's been in the family of faith for a long time and you're almost immune to it? You're hearing the story again this morning and you're thinking, well, what's new about that? Maybe you need that fresh anointing, that fresh envisioning, that fresh realization of who Jesus really is. Because all of these incidences about people understanding, some of them for the first time, who Jesus was. Some of them were being challenged in their preconceptions. Certainly the religious right were. Some of them are being challenged just to acknowledge him for the first time. But all of them had to adjust their thinking. I don't know about you, but as I've gone on in the Christian life, I've often had to adjust my thinking about church, about people around me, about the way I think about God. And that's the challenge this morning. To what extent can we do, or do we need to, adjust our thinking? And that's my point. And you might need to consider that over the next days. Do we need to adjust our thinking and alter the way we regard Jesus and respond to him?